So we're continuing in our series looking at prayers of the Bible. So we've looked at Jonah, we've looked at Hannah, and this week we're looking at someone you've probably never heard of, someone called Jabez. Anyone heard of Jabez? Oh, there's a few people who have read their Bibles thoroughly. If you want to find a story of Jabez, you want to turn to 1 Chronicles, chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, and that's all we have about Jabez. Two verses. These two verses come in the midst of a very long list of names of so-and-so was the father of so-and-so, and so-and-so is the son of so-and-so. And then randomly, in the middle of this long genealogy, we come across Jabez. And obviously the author thought it was noteworthy to mention Jabez. And all we know of Jabez is a few things, which is this. I'll read it to you now. Jabez was more honourable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, "I have given birth to him in pain." Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, "Oh, that you had blessed me and enlarged my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm, so that I will be free from pain." And God granted his request. You read it to us again. Jabez was more honourable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, "I gave birth to him in pain." Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, "Oh, that you had blessed me and enlarged my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm, so I will be free from pain." And God granted his request. All we know about Jabez is that he was more honorable than his brothers, that his mother names him Jabez because she gave birth to him in pain. Jabez means the word pain. And that he prays this amazing prayer, which God grants to him. And the other mention of Jabez in the Bible is of a place name called Jabez, a town called Jabez. It's near Bethlehem. And so what we probably think is that Jabez was someone who became the leader of that town, Jabez, and that's part of God granting that request of enlarging his territory. So we're going to look at this together now. And the first thing that's noteworthy in this, about Jabez and his prayer, it starts by identifying that he is more honourable than his brothers. He's more honourable than his brothers. There's something about his attitude and his heart that made God long to bless it. That he was clearly living his life in a way that honoured God because God was pleased to grant that request. And if the only things we know about Jabez are he's named after the word pain, he's honourable, and he prays an amazing prayer that God grants him, all these facts must be important. He was more honourable than his brothers. We'll come back to what that might mean later on. So looking at this prayer, looking at what he has to say, there's five things this morning I want us to pull out of each line of this prayer for us to think about this morning. And the first thing you won't be surprised at, you've been around the church for the last year, you've been looking at prayer over this last year, one of the things we talk about again and again in all the prayers we've looked at, is that there is this place where he honours God. There is worship and adoration that begins at the start of the prayer. And when we think about Jesus' prayer, where the Lord's prayer, where it talks about how our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It starts with praise. It starts with a recognition of who God is. There's an alignment that happens in worship. You see, when you worship, it's not just a nice thing that we do that blesses God. It is that, but it's more than that. What we're doing is we're declaring the authority and power of God over our life. Because what you worship is what has power over you. What you worship is what has power over you. Whatever you worship, you're saying that thing has an influence in my life. So if money becomes a thing that you worship, where you spend your whole life determined to get more money, that's the thing that's controlling you. It controls your behaviour. For me, when it's biscuits in the cupboards that I can't get enough of, and all I can think about when I'm sitting in the office is how there's biscuits in the cupboard that I haven't eaten yet, and how I can eat them, but can I eat them before Hannah gets home? I make sure I've hidden the packet so he just doesn't know I've eaten the whole pack of biscuits today.
No.
See, with simple things like that, you're going, what I'm doing is I'm saying that thing has power over me. And the whole thing in the Christian life is that what starts in the Garden of Eden between Adam and Eve and God is the moment they choose to step out of alignment of their relationship with God and put something else first over God, they're out of alignment. And that's where things start going wrong, when we're out of alignment with God. When we're not in, the word alignment means the correct relative position. The correct relative position. In worship, what you're doing is you are saying, I have chosen to give my life to God. And when I worship God, I'm saying, it's you, God, who has power and authority. It is you who I choose to submit my life to. It's you who is the one who controls my destiny. It's you who I choose to live for. It's you who I choose to be guided and led by. So worship is us aligning ourselves to worship the thing that we were made to worship. It says in the Bible that God has put eternity in our hearts. There's a sense of something of the divine that's in all human beings. And we're all trying to align up to something. And we'll try this, it doesn't quite work. We'll try this, it doesn't quite work. But worship is when we find that place where our soul sings for joy because we are in alignment with how we were made to be in the first place. Jabez cries out and just says, he cries out to the God of Israel. He knows who has authority and power. He knows who he can cry to when he needs to pray. He knows who God is. He didn't just say he cries out to a God. He cries out to the God of Israel. He knows who he's aligning himself with. What are you aligning yourself with today? What are you worshipping the most? What are you aligning yourself up with? Because whatever you align yourself up with is the thing that will have the most influence in your life. When you pray, begin by acknowledging who God is. We've said it week in, week out, but it's so important that we remember that in prayer, when we come to God, what we are choosing to say is, God, this is who I say you are. This is what I believe you to be. This is what I believe you can do. It's setting ourselves up saying, before we bring our requests, our heart, our issues, the things that are burdening us, before we bring them into being, we just recognize who God is and we declare that's the authority and power that we are coming under. In your prayer life, acknowledge who God is when you pray. Get yourself in alignment. The next thing is, he says, that you would bless me. That you would bless me. When you pray, do it with a heart fully invested in the blessings of God. Do you really believe that the plan that God's got for your life is the best plan possible? Do you actually believe that deep down? Because it's very easy to say that, isn't it? Well, God's got a plan, it's fine. But do you really believe that actually if you live the Christian life, it will be the best life you live? Or are you still not quite convinced of that? Are you still thinking, well, that's a good in theory, but actually to have to actually do what God says, feels a bit of a burden. Feels a bit of a faff. Because is your life fully invested in what God says he has for you? Are you fully invested in the idea that God wants to bless your life? That doesn't mean to say you're going to have no problems, by the way. Living in the blessing of God doesn't mean to say you're going to have this wonderful, everything's perfect. But living in the blessing of God is going, my life counts for something. My life means something. But no matter what I face, there's an opportunity in every situation. If you turn to Psalm 1, Psalm 1 talks about what it means to be blessed. And it says, people who are blessed are like a tree planted beside a river that is fruitful in every season. See, when you fully invest your life into the blessing of God, it means whatever you face, whether good or bad, you know that there is fruit that can be had in that season. You know that God can do something in that season. When you go through a hard time, it doesn't mean to say that God's blessings are on hold. It means there's something that God can bring out of this. That's the beautiful nature of a redeeming God, who even in the worst circumstances, he can still bring out some fruit. That's what it means to fully invest your life into his blessings. Are you still in control of your destiny? Or actually, are you asking God, saying, God, what is it you've got for me? Are you saying, God, what is there for me that I can get involved in? We heard this morning, didn't we, from Veronica about Esther saying, I could remain silent and God will use someone else. But I want to be fully invested into your blessing, into what your story is. So the question this morning is it your story or is it his story? Because the Bible says that all of history belongs to him. Think of history as his story. Are you going to make history? Are you going to make his story count in your life? What story are you under today? What story are you walking in? It's very easy as well to think, well, yeah, I am following God, it's fine. But you're still trying to live your story and hoping that he's going to bless your story. Whose story are you living for this morning? What are you fully investing your life into? Because, hey, blessing is to plant yourself into what God's got. Positioning yourself in alignment so you can be fruitful in every season. To be blessed is Psalm 1. Read it. Have a look at it. See what it has to say. Plant yourself somewhere where you can receive all that God's got for you, the river of God, the Spirit of God, so you can be fruitful in every season. Are you fully invested? Or are you still just dipping your toe in the water? Or have you put down roots into where God is in your life? So when you pray, do it with a heart fully invested in the blessings of God. Believe that what God's got for you is worthwhile. Believe that you're worth his story. Me and Hannah were having a conversation this week, and I said something, and she said, stop saying that over your life. If God's put something in you, stop trying to make it out as if, well, possibly if it happens. If that's what God said to you, step into it fully. And it massively challenged me because I was going, yeah. There's something God's placed in my heart, which I'm kind of tentatively going, well, I kind of know it's there, but oh, maybe if God, yeah. Why don't I just say, yes, God, that's what you're saying. That's what I want to do. And part of it's because I think, maybe I'm not good enough for that. Maybe I'm not worthy of what God's got for me. That's not the God that we believe in. We believe in a God who loves us, who cares for us, who gives extravagantly to us because he loves us, because he's a parent who loves to give good gifts to his children. Do you believe that you're worthy of his story? God thinks you are. He died for you. He rose again for you. He called you by name. Because you are worthy of his story. So fully invest your life in his blessing. Next thing is he says, enlarge my territory. When you pray, ask God to multiply your territory and to do more through you. How does the world change? It changes through people. It changes through you and it changes through me. We can wait for governments, we can wait for organisations to try and change things, but it will never work. It starts with people choosing to have an impact in their little part of their little world. And what Jabez says, he says, enlarge the influence that I have. Enlarge my ability to influence more people. Give me the ability to have more impact in my life. Wherever you are right now, we all know this, don't we? But we kind of don't believe it. You are a missionary wherever you are, in whatever you're doing. That is God's mission for the world. It's through you and me living ordinary lives, changing the world, little by little. That's what it's about. We can wait for the church to do a big mission together. That's lovely. But actually, how we'll change the world is through you and me being witnesses for Christ, where we are, changing the world in that little environment. So if that's the case, ask God to give you greater influence and greater impact where you are. Because suddenly, if the job that you hate or the place where you are you hate becomes actually an opportunity to bless and suddenly a place to advance the kingdom of heaven, it starts having a different expectation in that place. It changes how you see your environment. You might not like it, but it's an opportunity for light in dark places. You can sit there and go, oh, these people are horrible. I don't like them. Or you can go, wow, these people need Jesus. God, give me more influence. Give me more territory here. Give me more grace with people that I can share something of who you are with them. Ask God to give you greater influence in your life. Ask God to bring more people into your life, more friends into your life that you can share more with. Because we are called to go. We are called to share. Part of our vision as a church is to trust the Father, receive the Spirit, and tell the story of the Son. From Acts 1:8. And what we've talked about in terms of that verse, what it says is, the disciples say to Jesus in that verse, Jesus, are you now going to restore the kingdom of heaven, sorry, the kingdom of Israel, right now? Now that you've died and rose again, are you now going to restore Israel? Jesus goes, no, guys, you've lost it. The kingdom of heaven is wider than just you. It's bigger. It's the whole world. He says, now go into all the world. Go and do it. Go into where you are, trusting God in your life, receiving his Holy Spirit, and telling the story of his Son in whatever you do. Ask God to enlarge the impact you have. In social media, you have people who are called social media influencers. People who are paid on social media to post things about a particular product or a particular idea to influence people's behavior to buy that product. That's how marketing works. It's just a principle that is part of how humanity works. We are called to be human influences for Christ, to influence in the world. I remember a few years ago a story about Jamie Oliver when he used goose fat for his roast potatoes at Christmas. And the next day after showing this on television, goose fat sold out instantly in all supermarkets. Because he had influence. Ask God for influence like that. Where when you say in your workplace or in your school, in your college or in your with your neighbours or wherever you have community, when you say, actually, would you not swear? People go, actually, yeah, fair enough. When you say, actually, let's not do it like that. Let's not gossip. Let's actually talk positively to each other. You have the ability to be an influencer in your community. Are you being an influencer or are you being influenced? Be an influencer. Have greater impact. Pray to God and say, God, give me greater territory. Enlarge what I've got. Give me greater impact. He then goes on to say, your hand be with me. When you pray, request more than blessing and provision, but that God's hand would lead you through any circumstance and trial that comes your way. What it's saying is, being blessed doesn't just mean everything being fine dandy. Life's really hard, isn't it? It's just hard. But rather than always going, God, save me from this, save me from that, save me from this, it's saying, God, I know things are going to happen. I know that I want to be blessed. I want to live rooted in what you've got for me. So I know that I'm going to go through some hard times. And when I'm in hard times, I want to be rooted into where you are. I want to be held by you. When you go through tough stuff, do you know in prayer that you are held by God? And it's sense of being here of being guided in your life. But even when it's hard and it's not great, you're guided. There's something that gives you a direction even when you're not sure where life is right now. When everything feels upside down and back to front, there's still something you can cling to, gives you some direction. Something you can hold on to. And I always imagine the idea of God guiding me. I imagine like I'm a little child and God's there and I'm holding his hand. He just leads me along. I'm held in his hand. Not just like scooped up, but I'm holding on to him. He's holding on to me, and he's leading and guiding me. And I might be crying and bawling my eyes out, but he still takes me in the right direction to go. Life isn't easy. We've talked about this several times in when looking at prayer. Trouble will come. But when it comes, what will we do? Well, we turn to God in prayer and say, God, I know you're holding me right now. I know I can cling to you right now. I don't understand what's going on. I don't understand it, but I can hold on to you. You are held by God. In prayer, when you pray, know that he wants to guide you, he wants to lead you, and he never lets you go. And lastly, Jabez prays, keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain. When you pray, come to God vulnerably and ready for him to turn your weaknesses into his glory. We've talked about this, haven't we, over the last few weeks in different prayers we've looked at. This idea of the transformation that happens in us when we pray. To come vulnerably before him and say, God, life isn't easy. But this prayer isn't just a saying, Lord, keep me from harm and keep me from pain. I don't want to face that. There's a bigger story going on here in what he's praying. Remember back when I said at the beginning, his mother names him Jabez, which means I gave birth to him in pain. Jabez means pain. What he's doing here is he's praying a different story to the one that's been spoken over his life. Over him, what's been spoken is, you are someone who brings pain. Imagine someone telling you constantly, you bring pain, you bring pain, you bring pain. Very easy after a while to start believing that. For Jabez, what he does is he says, rather than listening to what is being spoken over me, what's been named over my life, I choose to pray a different prayer, that I would be free from pain. I would be free from what's been spoken over my life. In prayer, how transformation happens is when we recognize the truth of who God says you are, who God says I am, who God is, and what he speaks over your life. Who are you listening to? Because transformation in prayer happens when we recognize that what other people speak over us, the harm and the words people speak over us, hasn't got to be the truth. You can pray a different story. There's a transformation that takes place. That I would be free from the story that people have spoken over me. What a powerful prayer to pray. Are there things that people have spoken over you and you're thinking, yeah, I need to be free from that. I need to be free from what people said over my life. When people said, I won't amount to much. When people said, you can't do that. When people have said, you're this or you're that. Jabez, in prayer, he speaks God's future, God's story, God's hope over his life to come. And says, what has been spoken over me will not determine my future. Because I am choosing to fully root myself in the blessing of God. To align my life to him. And in prayer, what he's doing is he's saying, this is God's story. That I don't have to live with the story of being someone who brings pain, but I can be free from that story. And in that is transformation that takes place. See, prayer, when we pray, it's a declaration of freedom. Because say, I have a choice where I choose to direct my requests. I have a choice over whether to follow God or not follow him. And prayer is this great declaration of freedom. There's nothing in this world, apart from death, but even that now is conquered, can stop you praying. And this is what is the most powerful thing the church can do. And the reason why God's calling the church back, nationally and internationally, back to prayer, is at a time when Christians are persecuted more than any other people in the world right now, nothing can stop us praying. Whether you're in a prison cell, on hunger strike, nothing can stop you praying. It is the ultimate declaration of freedom, that I am free to declare God's truth over my life, not to be bound by other people and what they speak over me or what they say I must do, but I am free So when we pray, God loves it because it's an expression of our freedom. Which is why when we don't pray, the enemy loves it. So we don't pray, when we don't acknowledge God and stuff, what we're doing effectively is we are saying that it's about us. We're responsible. But in prayer, we're saying, God, you're responsible. We are free. So prayer is a declaration of freedom. What has been spoken over you does not have to be your future. I mean, there's a lot of us here this morning who need to hear that. I need to hear that. Things you've been through that have meant you've gone, oh, I'm not sure I can go through that again. Don't let people dictate your future. Let God's truth and promise dictate your future. This prayer of Jabez is amazing. He's saying, he aligns himself with God. He prays for God's story, not his own. He asks for a greater influence and impact so that he can share God's story with more people. He knows that even in tough times that are going to come, he's held and he's guided. And he knows ultimately that what people have spoken over him as his story doesn't have to be his story. That he is free. He prays freedom. He prays transformation. So this morning, do you need to realign yourself with God? Do you need to think about whose story you're investing in? Are you fully invested in the blessing of God? Or have you still got some way to go to put those roots down a bit deeper? Do you need to ask God to give you greater impact in your surroundings today? To have greater influence rather than being influenced? Do you need to know that you're held this morning, whatever's going on, and that he will take you through it? Do you this morning need the transformation of God's power in your life to remind you that what has been spoken over you does not have to define your future? We can come to God in prayer and experience the fullness of who he is in encounter and have all these things set right in our life. Prayer is our opportunity to declare that we are free and that we are children of God. Let's pray. The Lord's going to come back up. And we're going to think about that some more. So, Father God, we thank you for the prayer of Jabez that reminds us that you are an amazing God. That, Lord, you are someone who has a future and a hope for us. That you are trustworthy and you're kind. Lord, I pray for all of us that we would be blessed, that we'd be rooted in your story. Like trees rooted beside a river, fruitful in every season. Lord, I pray that we would know that we are held by you. Lord, I pray that we would know that you want to transform what has been spoken over us into what you speak over us. So, Lord, we ask, bring revelation and truth to us right now. May we encounter you, we pray. Amen.
Am I more than just a sum of every high and every low? Remind me once again just who I am, because I need to know. You say I am loved when I can't feel a thing. You say I'm strong when I think I am weak. You say I am held when I am falling short. When I don't belong, you say I am yours, and I believe. Obviously, this is something that struck me, so I hope that sharing it with you has helped you as well. We have a God who loves us.